I've been in town for a few days, and both Father Tollefsen and Father Eriksson have introduced me to the congregation, but I think I have to introduce myself again just in case. I'm Father Daniel Healy. I grew up here in the parish. I lived on St. Clair Avenue. I went through all my grade school years at Nativity School here, graduated from eighth grade in 1975. I was asking these young ladies serving, they're both in eighth grade, one of them is 13, one is 14, I'm 63, so exactly 50 years since I was a student at Nativity. So I'm 50 years older than these young ladies. I'm a member of a community or a movement, Anuwim Community, and I have been assigned to our Anuwim Center in the Philippines for the past 31 years. So that's my life, that's where I was ordained, that's where I serve, and I'm just here on a home visit. So I came in Thursday night, I'm leaving today, so I'm headed back to the Philippines this afternoon, 4 hours to San Francisco, 4 hours in the San Francisco airport, and 14 hours to Manila, which is an enormously large city, something like Nineveh in today's first reading. Yesterday, Father Eriksson told me he has two masses today, and he wanted to know if I wanted to take one of them, and I said, yes, I would love to be able to offer a mass here in my home parish. This is my last mass in the country this year, and to do it here is just a special opportunity for me, and it gives me a chance to thank the parish and thank the wonderful priests who are here. They've been hosting me. I've been staying in the rectory for the past 4 days, and they've been very, very hospitable, and I want to offer my thanks to them. I also am happy to be able to offer a Mass on this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, because I think it's a special feast to me, and Our Lady's style of prayer has become very important to me. And I think it's good to reflect a little bit on the Rosary, which is easy to criticize, and yet is a secret weapon of extraordinary power. When I was here in school, I'm sure I learned how to pray the rosary, but I was not at all attracted to it. I have a rosary actually from my elementary school days. I don't use it anymore because the metal, the links always get stuck together, and I like those rope ones better. Anyway, I was not attracted to the rosary for the same reason many people are not attracted to it. It seems like a lot of endless repetition. I mean, how many times do you have to say the Hail Mary? And so if you had asked me in eighth grade, what about the rosary? I would have said, well, I have no argument against the Our Father or the Hail Mary or the Glory Be or the Creed, but how many times do you have to say those prayers? It wasn't until I was in college that I discovered the rosary in a new way and discovered it as a way of praying, which is really profound and very enriching, and I discovered the greatness of the rosary, and that's what I want to share with you because this is my opportunity. The rosary is simple enough that it can be prayed by the smallest child, anyone who can count to 10 and can memorize the Hail Mary, and that means about 3 years old or so, can pray the rosary, but it's profound enough that it's an inexhaustible source for the most profound theologians, the geniuses, and the mystics. Those who discover the rosary proclaim it as an extraordinary, extraordinary prayer technique. St. John Paul II said the rosary was his favorite prayer. St. Padre Pio prayed dozens of rosaries every day. I don't know how he did it, but that's what they say. He prayed the rosary continuously. Now, you can't argue with people like that. If they think it's valuable, we have to believe it is. But I myself have discovered what a wonderful prayer it is because it's so flexible, so adaptable. You can pray it with children, you can pray it with the family, you can pray it while you're driving, you can pray it while you're walking, you can pray it here in the church, you can pray it in adoration, you can pray it with a large group, pray it alone. But the key to the rosary is not simply the counting of the beads or counting of the Hail Marys. The key is the pondering of the mysteries. And this is what I discovered in college, and this is what I treasure, because this is what we do every time we come to Mass, or every time we reflect on the Word of God. We're pondering in our hearts the mysteries, We're pondering what God has done, or what God is doing, what God has said, or what he is saying. And this is Mary's way of praying. Mary didn't pray the rosary, but she pondered in her heart, she treasured in her heart everything that God did, everything that God said. And so when we pray the rosary, that's what we do. We enter into Mary's style of prayer. I think it's striking that today's readings, even though they're not chosen for the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, they do say something about prayer. Today's first reading is from the prophet Jonah. We read from Jonah yesterday. We'll continue it up through tomorrow. Jonah is famous as the guy who refused to do God's will, got swallowed up by the great fish, and when he finally did what he was told, he was extraordinarily successful. That's the passage today. Tomorrow we'll see how he remains a rather petty and vindictive person. So he's not a very attractive prophet, but the one part of the book of Jonah which we don't read in the daily readings is chapter 2, which is Jonah's prayer. What was Jonah doing when he was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights? He was praying. He wasn't praying the rosary, but he was reflecting on his experience, reflecting on what God did, what he did, and he was renewing his trust in God. In fact, he promised God that he would fulfill his vow. And we know that that prayer was successful or effective in Jonah's heart, because as soon as he got spit out onto the land and heard the call of the Lord again, he did it. So in the chapter 1, he didn't do God's will. He ran away. Chapter 2, he's praying in the belly of the fish. Chapter 3, he does the will of God. That's today's reading. And he converts the whole city. A pagan, notoriously scandalous, sinful city, in one day, they're all converted. Obviously not the power of Jonah, the power of God working through Jonah. He opened his heart in prayer. Today's gospel is the famous story about Martha and Mary. Again, it's striking that this gospel lands on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, because Mary of Bethany, is seated at Jesus' feet and is listening to him. Where Martha is doing the necessary tasks of hospitality. What Martha is not doing is listening. She's not opening her heart to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with serving. There's nothing wrong with working. We all have to work. We have lots of things to do. But the important thing, Jesus says, the one thing, the one necessary thing is listening. Or we could say pondering, listening, treasuring in our hearts, opening ourselves to the will of God. Because when we do that, then God can work in us and work through us, no matter what our tasks may be. Well, I would like to talk a long time about Our Lady of the Rosary, but I'm going to stop there. I encourage you to pick up the rosary at least today. Try it once again, this powerful prayer, this very simple prayer, and include in your intentions the need for peace. The rosary is a powerful weapon for peace, and my goodness, we need this weapon. We need peace. Today's the second anniversary of the Hamas invasion of Israel, meaning it's been 2 years that this terrible conflict that's been tearing up Gaza, this is beyond human solution. But we can turn with Our Lady to the Lord, praying for a just and lasting peace in that troubled area. And let's also pray for peace in Ukraine.